Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome. Hello, good evening, everyone, or rather good afternoon. It is actually noontime, and I am excited to be here on my show. Welcome to the Disturbed Love Show. And I am here with my family, and just want to say good afternoon to everybody, my sister Kim and everybody, good afternoon. And just want to thank everyone, our listening audience, for supporting us with the Disturbed Love Show. I come on Fridays. Last week there was a little bleep, and I ended up on Saturday at noon. But I'm glad that you're here, and welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. I am a part of the home-based business one-on-one platform that my husband, Baba Satyajit, created, and that's home-based business one-on-one. And you can hear him every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and also Ms. Victoria Falk for travel. You can hear her on Mondays at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I just want to thank everyone that's been supporting this show, the Jasari's Love Show, as well as the entire home-based business 101 platform for the years that we have been on the air. And this show, I'm working on stabilizing it. I've been kind of going back and forth. I've been visiting up here in Maryland with my mom. She's 90 years old, 90 years young. Y'all should see her dance. 90 years young. When I say dance, I mean really dance, okay? And it was funny. She was washing dishes. Yeah, we do that the old-fashioned way here because there's only a few of us. And she dropped a knife or something on the floor, and she scooped that thing up so fast. But she's pretty agile, 90-year-old, 90 years young. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful person. Our mom, yes, Mrs. Edith Williams. Always want to say shout out to your mom, Mrs. Edith Williams, and a shout out to my sister, Kim Williams, and a shout out to my dad, our dad who's up in heaven, Raymond Williams Jr. As you all know, I refer to my parents because I was blessed, and I know that it's a blessing, and I am grateful to have had such wonderful, loving parents. And I realize that everyone doesn't have that, didn't get that. And my heart goes out to those people who didn't. But at the same time, I know that, as some people have said, I think Jay-Z was one who said it, that he's thankful for his childhood because it made him a strong person. And he's got a good point there. If you can survive it, if you can make it through, and oh, my God, I know some people have been through some horrendous things, horrendous that I can't even imagine, don't want to imagine, you know. And if you made it through, like so many of our forefathers made it through slavery and other horrendous, horrible situations, then, you know, God bless you. May the Creator just bless you, you know, and I'm just thankful that you were able to make it through and make it to where you are now, and that you have a decent life, and that you can provide a good life for your children. And going back to that, you know, like I said, my parents were wonderful. Mrs. Edith Williams, Mrs. Edith May Palmer Williams, and Mr. Raymond Williams Jr., loving parents, very, very loving. They raised six of us. I have four brothers and one sister, so there's six of us, and with those two parents, it makes eight of us. Today is Friday, July the 21st, and it's 12 o'clock, and it's the Jasari's Love Show. And I was talking about peace. I've been talking about peace for several months now, and I'm going to continue on this line of peace. I'll be interviewing people. I've got a couple people that I've got lined up. I've got some people I've got to get back to. I'm real excited about one young lady. I met her in New York, and we both agreed how we love trees. We hug a tree, and we say hello to the trees. And some of you will be like, okay, I'm exiting this call. She's talking to trees. But hold on. Hold on. Because, you see, that's just where we go wrong. We don't even realize that all these things are alive and that they have feelings and that they hear us, not necessarily the way you hear me now, but they do. you know, and there's a response, there's a relationship between all living things, all living things, there's a relationship. So my topic today had to do with a place that I've lived for about 7 to 8 years. It's Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And I wanted to talk about the peace that I experienced while living there. The peace that I experienced while living there. A lot of things were going on in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. It's one of 32 towns or counties that were fighting to get their gas and electricity, their power, at a rate that was more reasonable for them to afford. And you would say, what does that have to do with peace? Well, trust and believe that once it started getting straightened out, it brought a lot of peace to people, okay? Get working through that and fighting through that. 33 counties in eastern North Carolina were dealing with this, battling with this. And I'm talking about bills from like $500 a month to like $1,200 a month. Yes, people across the country, make sure you hear me, for their power, for gas and electricity. And so I'm not going to get down to all the specifics. That would be like a whole nother program, and maybe one day we'll delve into that many, many, many months from now. But in the midst of all these type of things, again, one has to find peace. And what happened to me is that I met a lot of wonderful people along the way. And that's where you get your peace. I found places to go that gave me peace. I found ways to deal with the situation. And also, how do you work through such challenges? You know, our NAACP in North Carolina has to fight through so many challenges, Dr. Barber, and half of which, those of you listening on the call probably just don't even have a clue of what the people are fighting for, because so many people assume that everything has been fought and won. But just think about it for yourself. If you had to face a $1,200 gas and electric bill and you didn't even have your power on half of the time because you basically were trying to just bear and be hot in the summertime so you were not running an air conditioning or fan, imagine living like that in this weather that we have today, 98 degrees, which feels like 102, which feels like 115 in a house where there's no air conditioning or fan. And imagine living anywhere, because in North Carolina, believe it or not, the temperatures can fall as low as 15 and 18 degrees sometimes. It's not always just in the 50s and 60s. It can get cold. As a matter of fact, when I lived in New Orleans, there were times when it was down to 32 degrees. Not a lot, but trust and believe, all it takes is one day for you to be cold, okay? And really, really get achy and could get sick, okay? So imagine if you're living there and because of the cost of gas and electricity in certain parts of where you're living at, that your bill for using heat is going to come in at $1,200, anywhere from $400 to $1,200, okay? And so a person has to find a way to have peace in the midst of total discomfort and total challenges, financial challenges, in a place where there's not a lot of jobs. A lot of jobs have pulled out of North Carolina, Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and Wilson, North Carolina. The cotton industry, the tobacco industry, is not what it used to be. And so, therefore, things have, you know, it has affected the economy, and it's affected the employment. The unemployment rate is very, very high. Okay, so With that being said, how in the world does a person find peace? Well, you just have to claim it, to be honest with you. It's all about your state of mind. And I found so many people who, despite the struggles that they were going through, that's what people do. It's all about your state of mind, your frame of mind, and finding joy in every day and other things that you do or you create or you participate in. One of the things that I used to go to, I was invited by a wonderful lady named Miss Ann Williams to a program called Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I would attend this when I could. It was a prayer session with singing at a Baptist church, actually. And the music and the thoughts and the feeling that is conveyed in this hour and the opportunity to share what I do and for other people to share what they did was really a time of peace, fellowship, community, togetherness. We met at 12. You could come from any walk of life, any church, and it doesn't matter what your religious background was, and just be there. So there, from time to time, there may be someone that may be Muslim that may come through. Of course, all the different Christian, different, titles, I guess. That's not the word that he used, but different, different parts, whether you were Baptist, Catholic, or whatever, Episcopalian, all of those different things. Holiness would be there, apostolic. So, and people would come together just for that hour. And the hour would start with this wonderful guy named Mr. Hart. He was Bishop Hart, playing music and singing songs that he would create, and some of the songs that had been out there for a while. And we would join in. It would be like call and response. And there would be a song we would start with, which was, of course, Sweet Hour of Prayer. It was called the Sweet Hour of Prayer, that moment before leaving this earth and remembering, all the good memories of what life can be about and the good things that each one of us have in our life, because I pray that everyone has had a good moment. I know for some people that's really digging deep, even finding a good moment. Wow. But we have to recognize that for some people, just finding a good moment, a moment of peace. So there I would find myself, and quite often I would be pretty much almost the youngest person there. And I think about laughing now because I was in my late 50s. But, it was enjoyable. They would pass out the songbooks and pass out the Bible, so everyone would have one. And so that when the speaker would speak, we could follow along with the different parts of the verses from the Bible. So that was really good. And like I said, people would come in with various things. And after we had said a couple of prayers and sang a couple of songs, and songs just keep you moving, then the last 20 minutes, there would be a person that would come and speak about an array of topics, anything from health care to Social Security Administration, how to defend yourself. I did a piece on peace, and I did a piece on movement. That's what I do. So those of you who want someone to come out and do that, I do that. And just the people who were farming, who had special projects they were working on, people who were from different ministries would come up and speak. People would talk about human rights, civil rights. People would talk about the ecology and how the pig farms were affecting people, the pork farms in rural North Carolina. So it was a place where you could get a lot of information, and I think that's very important and very outside of the box thinking to be able to share within that little bit of time. That's a power packed hour. And for me, it was good because I could just, you know, enjoy, just be free and relax. And it was like a non-judgmental hour of just people being together. And then at the end, we would do a circle prayer, welcoming everybody and just allowing everybody to pray together. I'm sorry, before that, you could send out a prayer, you know, you would say, make a statement about what you would like everybody in the congregation to pray for you or your family or whoever you wanted to have prayers done for. That was the last 5 minutes. And then we would go into our circle of prayer and bless our food because we would eat. We would have food. We were a fellowship, and they had, you know, nice food. I wish I could think of the names of the people who were serving, but I actually can't. And I'm going to have to look that up because it goes to show you how you can forget the names of people who you know are very special and were very kind. But at this moment, I have a senior moment. I didn't write the names down, so I can't bring them up at the moment. But they were kind people. And more than saying, you know, who's who and all of that, it's just I want you just to imagine, you know, finding a place where you could spend time and just fellowship and just enjoy each other's company. And within that hour, you could speak on specific topics, and then from that, you could delve into those topics and maybe join committees or join an organization and you know, be empowered. Be empowered if you chose to do that. If you chose to do that. And that gave me so much peace. It was like in the middle of the week on a Wednesday, and it was just great. And again, we have to seek peace. We have to create environments of peace. That is what we have the right to do, and that is what we should be thinking about and make yourself aware of, you know, wow, did I have a moment of peace today? I'm asking you to do that. Have I, in my day, so look back at yesterday, did you have a moment? Could you go somewhere, be somewhere, get within yourself, and have 1 hour of quiet and peace? Or soothing music and peace? Could you put your phone down and go into a place of peace? Because the reason why I bring the phone up is because I see so many people with the phone now attached to their body. I think they're now being born with a phone. Babies are being born with the phone attached to their cheek, their right or left cheek. Most people kind of use their right side. So, you know, and, you know, a lot of fussing and a lot of chat, as my sister would say, about nothing, right? So stop and think about it for a minute. This is what the Jasari's Love Show is all about. It's taking a time for you to stop in your tracks and think. Question yourself. When was the last time you questioned yourself about anything? Did you question yourself? And ask yourself, do you feel right about what you're doing, whatever that is that you're doing? Are you exhausted? Are you mentally, physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted? But what are you going to do about it? Eliminate something. Something that you don't really have to do. Rearrange your schedule. Put yourself in a position where you have peace. So that is what I did while I was living in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And when I look back and I think about how I had a dear friend who would call me up at the last minute, all the time, the last minute, and say, Cynthia, I'm on my way to blah, blah, blah. Would you like to ride with me? And how I would say no, because as much as I wanted the adventure and as much as I wanted to be with that friend, I could see where it was going to break up, like, my peace for the day. See, sometimes we have to know when to say no. Got to know when to say yes, and we have to know when to say no. And I'm just not the kind of person that you could blow your horn and I drop everything that I'm doing, I jump in the car and I go off into the great unknown with you. That's just not how I operate. Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong. That works for other people real good. They can just go off and drop what they're doing and go off to the unknown and get all caught up in other people's lives and drama, and or just go out and have a good time and then come back and pick up from where they were. But for me, I kind of look at how is this going to affect my day and what is going to be the overall purpose of this here. And when I get where I'm going, how would I fit into the scheme of things, and will this upset my peace? And in my mind, and I could be wrong, I saw that it was definitely going to upset my peace because I was going to be going off somewhere. And at the time, my money wasn't all that great where I could just say, you know, I'm ready to leave and I'm going to catch a cab and going back to, and you can't even do that in rural North Carolina anyway. There is no such thing as just catching a cab from, you know, some places 100 miles away. So you can drive there quick somewhere in North Carolina. They said quick, you could be somewhere, you know, out in the boonies somewhere, you know. And if it wasn't the way I wanted it to be, I couldn't just get up and leave if I wasn't driving. So I saw myself as possibly being stuck. And I just don't like to put myself in that position where I'm stuck. So what I did to find peace, I just said no. Thank you. If you had told me 2 or 3 days ago and where you were going and what we were going to be doing there, then I may have planned to join you, but I cannot do that. And I didn't. And I would quite often just go ahead about doing what I was going to do with my family for that day, which was usually a Saturday morning. Let me make an adjustment with my earpiece. Give me a second, please. Okay, this is the Just Hard Love Show. I had to make a little adjustment with my earpiece. Got it together now. Okay, so sometimes you have to say no. You can't just go running off because somebody's beeping the horn and looks like you're going to have fun, and you probably would. But because I live on purpose and was working on some specific things, I just didn't want to do that. And also because I needed that peace and that calmness in my life and some stability. And that was something that I had, a judgment call that I just had to make. Now let me get back to saying about living on purpose. It is so important to live on purpose, but it's also important not to get caught up in the purpose to the point that you don't live. So everybody's going, oh, man, you know, like, I'm on purpose and I'm sticking to what I'm doing. But hear what I'm saying. Be on purpose, but make sure that you're living. Make sure that you're taking care of your spiritual obligations with the Creator, whether you call them God, Allah, Jehovah, whatever you call them, you know, Buddha, whatever you call your deity, whatever you, however you see God. That's your personal thing, because everybody always says, you know, you have a personal relationship with God, the Creator, so I'm not bothering that, but I do suggest that you have one. You have that time daily that you set aside. That should be really number one purpose. Secondly, of course, your family, yourself and your family, and then your business, your other obligations, which is your purpose, might be a project you're working on. Maybe you have your own business. It could be home-based, or it could be that you're one of those strong entrepreneurs. Movements Unlimited is dance and theater and summer camps. That's what we're doing a lot of. And so I had to put everything and keep everything in perspective. So I would say no, and they would go. And I would notice that this, I would get this phone call like maybe every once a month. You know, we're 10 minutes away. We're on our way going such to such a thing. And every time I would say, you know what? If you had told me a couple of days ago. And so we never really got that communication. And that communication is that I'm not going to just go because somebody's driving through, going where they're not even, they just decided they might want to go do something, they didn't know what. And on the same token, you know, they didn't hear me. They didn't hear that I like to have things kind of planned. And that's not everything, but that particular time when I was getting that call, I really wanted things planned because it wasn't just about me. It was about how it was going to affect my family. And the other part is I was hearing them, and I had decided that I'm just not going to do this particular spur of the moment type thing. I do spur of the moment type thing. And I do realize that the people that I go say, hey, that's all I want, this is the thing, I expect them to say yes or no because, hey, it's spur of the moment. But I don't make the mistake of doing that to the same people all the time. I kind of say to myself, okay, wait a minute, I need to plan. I need to call them ahead of time if I think that they want to do this with me, like go to the beach or what have you. And I know that going to the beach can be a lot of fun with the spur of the moment. But for me, it's even more fun when it's planned because it's like, hey, I got my money together, I got my food, I got my cooler, you know. I got my outfit I want to wear, which, you know, I don't even have an outfit I want to wear right now because they're not fitting. This is an extra ice cream that I ate last year. But anyway, but when they were fitting, that's what I did. That's what I did, and it's okay. So peace in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina meant long walks and taking my time. Spending time in the Braswell Memorial Library, a place that my husband is going to be at tomorrow doing a program. You're welcome to attend. It's at 3 o'clock. Hopefully he'll text me and make sure I got the right time. But just look up Movements Unlimited and just ask about they could be inside the Wally room. But what I would do, I would go to the library and take care of things that I had to take care of there, my business, reading, relaxing, research, programs. The library has programs. They have guest artists that come in, and I would enjoy what the city did have to offer. And because it's a small city, it didn't really have a lot to offer. But I always believe in, what is it, love what you can do while with what you got. Enjoy what you have, you know. You know, if you got a little something, enjoy that instead of looking for more. It's almost like the fox looking into the clear lake, and he has grapes in his mouth, and he sees this fox with all these grapes in his mouth, and he sees a whole bunch of grapes. He's like, oh, man, there are more grapes. And what does he do? He opens up his mouth to get those grapes out of the lake. He falls into the lake. Never gets the grapes, and he loses the grapes that he has because he never realized it was his own reflection. There wasn't any more grapes. He already had them in his mouth. He was looking at himself in the lake. And that's what we do. And we've got to stop that. Wherever you are, if you live in D.C., when was the last time you went to a museum in D.C.? We fuss, we cuss, we have a fit. Oh, it's nothing to do. If you live in Washington, D.C., if you live within a half an hour or an hour of Washington, D.C., and you feel that you have nothing to do, oh, my goodness. If you don't like museums, how do you know if you have not spent a whole day in several different types of museums? They are interesting. They can be exciting because now they have interactive programs. And you can learn something. I'm not saying that everything you see in the museum is true. Some is art. Some is artifacts that may be misplaced and misunderstood. But it gives you a chance to see what's out there. And if you want to challenge something, you can look it up and do some research and see, wow, was this mask from Africa, truly from Africa? Were these people doing this or doing that? Were the people in the European countries really peaceful people or Did they perhaps have, like, the worst weapons in the world? Well, if you go in a museum, you can see the history of people around the world. And, of course, you have to, again, do some extra research to see how much of what you're looking at has been put together properly. But the point that I'm trying to make is you can find yourself and put yourself in places of peace by knowing what's around you and taking advantage of what's in your city. And a lot of it, I'm going to say this word, it's going to like shock some people. A lot of it is F-R-E-E, free. So what are some of the free things that you can do that could give you peace and gave me peace in Rocky Mount, North Carolina? They only really have one museum in Rocky Mount, and that is the Interior Center. And because I was new there, of course, I wanted to go to the Interior Center. So I would go in, and it's not really big. But again, I am accepting, you know, what it is that someone has to offer. And so I would go in, my husband and I, and our grandson at the time, and we just could spend 4 or 5 hours enjoying what that museum had to offer, taking our time and letting it be what it was. In the museum, they have what most museums have, little scientific areas, experimental areas. They do have some live things, a couple of snakes and the story behind those snakes. They have a beautiful, beautiful area of art that people have done, whether it's in clay or painting or whether it was wire art. The typical usual things you would find in a museum, but at a very smaller scale. They even have a whole area where in-house artists or community artists would come in, and you could leave your art there and work on it whenever you wanted to come in and work on it, which is one of my favorite things. They have a dance studio, they have a dancer, and they have a whole performance area for people who want to perform. I took a class in clay once. I went there for several performances that they had, community groups. One community group had Motown Review. I enjoyed that. Thelonious Monk, they had a program there for him. Just a lot of things, but not a lot of things, actually, but I enjoyed what they had, okay? And I actually participated in the Obama inauguration program. We had one there, and it snowed in Rocky Mount on that day. It never snows in Rocky Mount, but it snowed in Rocky Mount that day. The rest of you may have been in D.C. freezing, but in Rocky Mount, we had 6 to 8 inches of snow. It shut the city down, except for we were able to be responsible for the Imperial Center, which I'm shocked they didn't shut that down, but Sister Shafia worked really hard, and she made sure that we got that done along with other people that were part of that committee. And so I am saying, wherever you are, find things that are interesting to you and things that give you peace. And I like museums, and fortunately so does my husband. He likes tennis, and so he found the tennis courts, and he took me there, and he started teaching me and my grandson some tennis, and he met people who played tennis, so he found a place of peace. And they're not a lot of tennis courts, but they have remodeled them, and so now they have more tennis courts, and they have more, they've advanced their program. So when people show an interest and push for different things that give them fun and relaxation and peace, then if you want something, sometimes you have to ask for it or work for it or fight for it. And so that's what happened there. They have 53 parks in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, 53 parks. And I tried to go to as many of them that I could get to. And one, the Martin Luther King Memorial Park, I specifically enjoyed because I could walk there. It was between my home and the library. And so it's, for me, it was like a mile and a half walk, and I loved it. On like a part of it was on a country road, and the part on the part was just a city street without sidewalks. and a lot of grassy area and shade and sunshine, sometimes too much sun. But I would get there and I would join up with other people and I would do my walking and my little bit of trotting, jogging kind of thing. And I found peace in that. And we would run on the trails through the MLK and Sunset Park. And being with the McGees and with Kimberly, it was very relaxing. And at the same time, I lost some weight around my waist. I love that part. I do that all over again. And it was, you know, I just enjoyed that. And the going through the trail, you know, trails are, you know, winding trails with the sunlight coming through, shining on the green leaves and coming through the different boughs of the tree limbs and, you know, the moss on the trees and all the little insects that drove people crazy last and enjoyed as long as they didn't get on me, right? And the squirrels and all of the hundreds of birds in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. They're yellow birds and red birds and blue birds and violet colored, almost see-through turf of birds. And black birds with dark blue, you know, what do you call that, feathers. Just, you know, your cardinals are there, your blue jays are there, your yellow kind of birds, I don't know, finches, I'm not sure what they are, and your big black crows are there. It's just, you know, up to you what you want to allow God to show you and for you to see and to smell and to feel. There's snakes along the path, and I jumped over a couple of them, and my friends looked at me like I was crazy. And we just kept going and just enjoying our walks and our runs and our trots through the trail, Sunset in Sunset Park, which can go like 5 miles over to the YWCA. And I would go in there and kind of, you know, relieve myself, get some water and get re-energized and get back out. And then there's little bodies of lakes. And there's a tall river that runs all through there. And I found peace on the trail. And I found peace in the park, sometimes by myself, sometimes just, you know, meeting up with other people, sometimes with my grandson and my husband, out with the tennis racket. And with my grandson, it would be tennis racket, baseball, basketball, and the football. We had all the balls, and when I'd participate, and we played hide and seek, and oh my God, those were the days. And then all the children would come along, and I would be like, don't y'all want to play hide and seek too with him, you know? But it would be so funny. You can imagine me in my 40s, my 50s, really, running around with this 5-, 6-, 7-year-old, 8-year-old playing hide and go seek with my husband, and also playing tag, you're it, you know, and children never want to be the one that has to run after you. They want you to have to chase them, and them little boogers can run, right? Peace is playing hide-and-go-seek and tag with your family. You know, when was the last time that you played a game with your family, you know, a physical game where everyone could have some fun? Have you ever played hide-and-go-seek in your house? I'm going to tell you, you got some places you can hide. And I don't want anybody to get all, I don't want anybody hiding in the closet, somebody get locked in the closet. Okay, you're home with adults, okay? We're all paying attention to what we're doing. We're not just doing things with children, doing dangerous things. But, you know, you have the living room table, the dining room table. You know, it's a lot of things that you could do. I'm not going to tell you all my secrets of how I hid by putting blankets over things like the days before, because I pre-planned the fact that I was going to play hide and go see with my grandson, right? So I would put, like, a blanket over a big chair, scoot the chair out from the wall, because, I mean, I'm weighing like 180 pounds, so I can't just go squeeze behind anything. And children are not that observant, so he didn't even notice that the chair was out maybe an extra 6 inches and there was a blanket there, and I would hide there, and I would be dying laughing. I mean, I would be dying laughing, trying to contain myself as he looked for me. And then it would be so funny because he would be like, I give up, Grandma. This game isn't any fun. The first couple of times, and then I would, like, leave that area, and throw my voice and go into another area, and he would have a fit because he couldn't figure out how I could end up being wherever I was because he'd just been in the room that he knew that he thought that he looked through everything to find me. And I would do things like pull the shower curtain to and hide in the tub. Yeah, I mean, I'm a little nut when it comes to hide and go seek. But we had peace and we had fun. And it's up to you to get out of your shell and get out of everything that you think that somebody else thinks you're supposed to do because you're 50 years old, you're a grandma. And also, I know a lot of people are going to hate this part. Stop being so lazy and not wanting to do anything. Get up off your rump and do something. These children are around you, and what are you doing? Stop doing that. Move over there. Be quiet. Stop. And children, I'm saying children, people, children, they want to have some fun. They bring you joy and laughter if you let them. Key word, if you let them. And I would allow my grandson to bring me joy, bliss, hilarious laughter, and that's what we did. That was at those times. And it gave me peace, and it gave him peace, and it gave us joy. And then we had the days that we just got up late. And I know everybody on the phone is saying, you've got to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You've got to be at 4:30. The whole world is over. You know, between the hours of 3:30 and 10 o'clock during the day, you could have knocked out 20,000 things. Sure, you could knock yourself out, too, trying to get all this stuff done that you think has to be done because you're living someone else's reality. Create your own reality. And so what we did, because we were homeschooling him anyway, some days we got up late. He had this T-shirt that he just loved. I forgot what it said. Something about I could sleep till, you know, don't wake me till 10 or something like that. You know, and he had like an angry face on it. Who woke me up before 10? And he enjoyed the thing called rest and sleep. And then when he was up, trust and believe, he was a ball of energy, okay? I mean, energy. He had the capital E, okay, for energy. Totally, totally enjoyed that. Peace in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Rocky Mount, North Carolina has its share of crime and grime and crookedness, you know, people who don't do what they should do. Like any township or city, you have very few places that everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. Fortunately, I was blessed. I'm living not too far off of Leggett Road. There was a place where we found peace, my husband and I, and we lived two places there. And I lived on Park Place, and I found a lot of peace there. And the block that I lived in, there was only three other families, a lot of abandoned homes too, which could be bad, but for us, it was kind of quiet. It gave us peace. So, like I said, you got to take it and reverse things around, you know. You say, oh man, this is kind of bad. Or you could say, oh, it sure is quiet, you know. So, it all depends on how you look at things. And in the neighborhood, there were a lot of pecan trees. And when we would go and we would pick, I could say, buckets of pecans that would last us for the entire year. And I would bring some up to Baltimore for my family. So my husband would take them to his dad, Otis Dickerson, and everyone could enjoy them. We could share them with other people. And other people shared it with me. I remember one pastor gave me like a whole bucket because he had that many from his yard. He said, I'm going to have like more than I can even eat because he had a tree that the squirrels hadn't gotten to. That's the other thing. The only thing is the squirrels do get them. But if you live where the squirrels just don't even get them, I don't know why. I'm just glad that squirrels can get there. Peace, sitting out on a sunny day with a blanket on the ground and a stepladder, and just could sit there and on my knees or just sit still and reach over and grab hundreds of pecan pecans off the ground of any area where they were. This was over by Bank, and there was a little park there. And there were some other places where we could get I'm talking about pecan nuts, you know, where they're big as your thumb, okay, really big, and they're bigger than that, they're fatter than that as far as when they come in a little pod, and it's usually three different pods that fall to the ground together. And you learn science, too, because you see how these, they come in a pod, and then there's the extra little, you have to use, they crack, you have to let them stay on the tree until they pop out from the pod, and then there's another thing that you have to take them out of. And then you get to the actual nut, which is delicious. You don't want to do it too early because they're not done, and they're not going to be good. They're going to be bitter. So you have to allow them to go through their process of popping out on their own out of this grain pod. And there's one in each pod, but there's three pods to like a leaf, okay? And so, you know, it was something I didn't know about. So it was firsthand science. Again, finding teeth in Rocky Mount, picking the pecans that were laying around freely in empty spaces. And so I told you about Sweet Owl Trail on Wednesdays. I've told you about the Imperial Center. I've told you about the MLK Park and the sunset, walking on the trails, and time with my grandson and tennis with my husband. And as my husband and I were returning to Rocky Mount after being in Baltimore for about 9 months, we found teeth at the train station. It's been upgraded. The train station is nice and clean, and the people there are relatively friendly. There was a young African-American woman who had a hot dog stand there. She now has her business in another location in Rocky Mount, in which she's selling crab cakes and things like that. So congratulations to her, which I'm glad of that. Peace and meeting people who are trying to do things and, you know, going to different programs that they have, the fairs and festivals. I went to every single one. It's a small town, so you could go to something starting in spring all the way up to October, just attending events and allowing the place to, even though I'm from Baltimore and I felt like there wasn't enough to do, I'm only one person and I've only got 24 hours in a day anyway, so the ironic thing about it is that places like New York City that are extremely busy to those of us who are from Baltimore or North Carolina or Virginia or any other state that's not as busy as a Baltimore, D.C. Well, Baltimore, D.C. and California, Florida, and New Orleans are considered really busy cities like Detroit and Chicago. And people from different other places, you know, more rural, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia is busy, though. But when we hit these big cities, you know, it's like, wow. But we have to understand it's per population. It's the population. The population requires that there are more movie theaters, more bowling alleys, more fairs, more festivals, more rock concerts. You know, New York City can pay for, you know, a national fight, you know. It has the audience for multiple theaters, multiple ethnicities of people who are going to pay their money and show up. And so that is what, you know, we have to understand. It's based on the population. So Rocky Mount could not sustain as many hotels and restaurants and museums and other places of entertainment than a place that has a huge population and also the base, the income base. Are you willing to pay people, you know, for the caliber of arts and museums that you find in D.C., the Smithsonian, the brand new African-American museum in D.C.? It takes money, and after you pay the money, are the people going to come? Well, so what happened to Dolly Parton's brother? He has his place in the middle of nowhere and not too far from Rocky Mount, seriously. And it looks beautiful from what I can see. And I felt, you know, not knowing anything, I was like, man, I don't know what that is. I'd like to go there for an event. And I don't know. But for whatever reason, it just didn't get off the ground like it was supposed to. It's there, and they've had things there. And I think people still have things there, but there's no linkage between it and the cities and things like that. And I don't think that it's just enough traffic to make it boom and blossom. And maybe one day it will with the right support. And I don't know whether the gentleman didn't have the right support. I don't know anything. But, you know, when you drive by, you say, oh, what is that? And what's going on there? And if you drive by a lot and you don't see anything going on there, you're like, well, why, what happened? Well, why isn't something happening there? So, again, keep that in mind when you move to a small city from a big city. The small city is for the fact that it's less population. If you want big city events, then you know, I suggest you go to Rock, if you go to North Carolina, go to Raleigh and go to Durham and go there and visit and go, you know, and deal with their things, or Charlotte, North Carolina. If you can live in Rocky Mount and go to these other places, is what I'm basically saying. Everything wasn't honky-dory. Everything wasn't perfect, but I'm not going to go into all the drama of all the bad things, because we always know that there are bad things happening in almost all of our little towns and cities. Always that story. I didn't think it could happen here. It can happen anywhere. It's going to happen. But side teeth where you are, in your house. When was the last time you and your significant other just laughed for an hour? Just laughed. Not you at him, not him at you, but you together. So if you're laughing at you, you find it funny too. If you're laughing at him, he's finding it funny too. But if you're laughing because you're looking at, maybe you're looking at Martin and it's just really funny, and you're just laughing. Or maybe you decided to play a grown-up version of hide and go seek or tag them. And don't hurt anybody, just tag. Not biting the person, tag them. Tag, I'm it. Well, maybe you sit down and you play the front of game of checkers on somebody's phone, and curl on that's the game of sorry, which is an old game they call the child children's game, or Monopoly. Just an old-fashioned pick-up sticks. When was the last time you did a hula hoop? You jumped a rope. When was the last time you and your significant other walked and held hands in a park? And, you know, be wise. I didn't ask you to go to a park where you know it's dangerous, like it. 9 o'clock at night, go someplace that you know is safe. And there are a lot of people out. When was the last time you walked down the inner harbor of Baltimore and just enjoyed yourself? And you don't have to have a lot of money. You can go to Rita's and you can get a snow thing, or an icy thing, an Italian ice for like $6. You don't have to take yourself a sandwich if you have to. But put some money aside and splurge and just buy something the day that you're out there. Find peace in your city. I would go to meetings at City Hall while I was at Rocky Mount, and I was a voicing person about the electricity. But I've met the council people, and I met, you know, the state senators, and I met these people, and I had an opportunity to find peace in trying to work through and negotiate on things with them. Again, this is the Stars Love Show, and I'll be signing off in a few minutes. This is part of the Home-Based Business 101 platform created by my husband of 30 years, Babu Sital Vijahi. And my husband's show is at 9 o'clock on Sundays, and he helps you about with your taxes. And you can reach him by just listening out for the show. You can also text me, or you can go to find me on Cynthia Jahi, CYNTHIAJAHI, on Facebook. And so you're not listening to your show. If you don't like it, just say you don't like it. You know, you don't have to use profanity or anything like that. Or if you found it interesting, I appreciate that, that you found it interesting. You know, another thing in teeth is, you know, I sent out a text to someone that I met that gave me his business card, and he sent me back a curse word, right, like F-U-C-K-U, right? And I thought, wow, how interesting. A cab driver giving out his business card to a passenger that paid him actually, you know, sent out something. He probably forgot, like, where he met me or who I was. But see how a person can just be so unpeaceful, you know? So instead of, you know, putting those kind of comments out, just go make a comment or say, you know, I expected this, or will you talk about this topic? And I can tell you yay or nay. And also keep in mind that there are a lot of people that have these shows. If you are not finding my show to be something that, you know, is of interest to you, go find another show, you know, because there are a whole bunch of them out here. So I just want to tell everybody that. That's how I have peace. Like, I don't look at things that I don't enjoy. I don't complain about them. I just say, oh, that's not for me. Ooh. You know, like, I look at The Walking Dead. I look at Fear of the Walking Dead. But I can't look at zombie movies. Or, you know, where they're vampires. It's just, you know, it's a difference for me. One is about survival, you know, at a crazy time. And the other one's just about crazy, mean, evil stuff. But that's just my preference. Okay, getting back to 9 o'clock on Sundays is Home-Based Business 101, Satawi Jahi, Baba Satawi Jahi. Mondays at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time is Victoria Falk for travel. And also, for you taking the time to listen to me, I have a gift because I am a travel agent and I have a travel business. So you can receive a gift that will save you 85 to 95% on your retail travel, which means you're going to rent a car, if you're going to stay in a hotel or condo or suite, go to www.myvortex, that's VORTEX365.com/ M as in movement, U as in unlimited, group, okay, .com. Okay. And that's so /movement/mvgroup. Okay, I may have to work on that. So, or if you, that was kind of confusing, just text me and say, what was that? What was that, you know, website that I gave you? You can text me at 252-406-0774 and say, I need the website, didn't quite get it, and I will be more than happy to give you the website, because every now and then we do have a, what do you call it, brain fart, or I am a senior now, so I had a senior moment. So please forgive me for that. You can catch me again next Friday. You can also catch me in the archive. But you can catch me next Friday at 12. And I will be talking to you about peace in New Orleans, okay? Peace in New Orleans. And in the meantime, I've got a couple of people that I'll be bringing on. Actually, I'm going to be bringing them on for probably a month. I've got to get them all, you know, signed, sealed, delivered, and get their schedules. But keep that peace in your home. Do a little laughter. Crack a little joke. Make sure you're kind. Be kind to your plants. It's been hot outside, so make sure you take plenty of water with you. Stay hydrated. Wear your sunscreen and have your bug repellent. Watch out for the children. Look out for the babies and the elderly. Be kind to your plants. Be kind to yourself. Slow down. Take a deep breath. Smell the roses. Sometimes I actually stop. I smell the roses. Smell the flowers around you. Say hello to someone. Wave at someone. Hold the door for someone. Be kind to someone. Be helpful to someone. And let that someone start with yourself, with your God, your Creator, with your home, with your children, with your grandma. Be kind to that older person. Be more patient and loving. See yourself as them one day. Be kind to the man in your life, the woman in your life. If you can't be kind, then get out of that situation. Be kind to the children. Be kind to those with disabilities. Be thoughtful. Just do it because God wants you to do it. The divine oneness. He wants us to have, he wants us to have peace and love, consideration. With that being said, this is the Jasari's Love Show signing off. I pray that you have a peaceful weekend. You have an hour every day with peace. I look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Friday at 12 o'clock. In the meantime, if you did enjoy the show, send it out to friends. Love and peace back to you.